again. This is the old Good Morning Man with program 29 out of a 260 program series titled From the Banks of the Ocklawaha. We're reminiscing over events that happened over the past 50 years, of the people that made things happen in that period. And we're doing it as a salute to radio station WHKP, celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. Yesterday, we talked about Arnold Kimsey King and Vic Huggins, who left quite a legacy at the University of North Carolina. Today, a look at other local people who made their mark in higher academia. The challenge of a series such as this, the omission of names of people that should certainly be included, and especially with this particular chapter. I can remember Harvey Pop Lance, who certainly left his mark in the halls of Mars Hill College as a long-term professor there. I have breakfast at least a couple of days a week with George Jones, who was a professor of religion at the University of South Carolina and later became a major figure in the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary at Louisville, Kentucky. I do remember bumping into J. Charles Morrow III, J.C. Morrow III, at a retirement dinner for Earl Wynn and his wife Rhoda, who both worked in the Department of Radio, Television, and Motion Pictures at UNC Chapel Hill. At that time, Morrow was provost at the University of North Carolina. And the late Clifford Pace was assistant to Albert Coates in establishing and nurturing the Institute of Government at Chapel Hill. Clifford was a local boy. And I know, because of a father's pride in his son, that Jeff Shealy, son of R.B. and Inga Shealy, is a consultant and professor at Cornell University. In fact, Jeff holds a variety of patents on gold transistor chips. And I've been told also that Bob Morgan is also on the faculty of Cornell. I believe he was a son of Fanny Morgan. When you're sitting in a group fishing for names of other local people who advanced to a career teaching in major institutes of higher learning, folks will suddenly pop up, well, don't forget, Willett Bennett taught down at NC State. Is this the son of Willett Bennett, whose family operated Hendersonville Lumber Company, and the Willett Bennett who was an executive with First Federal Savings and Loan? The answer, I don't know. It was just Willett Bennett to me. Someone else would pop up and say, didn't Billy Nesbitt also teach at State? I knew they had to be referring to the son of W.J. Nesbitt, former principal out at Edneyville. I know for a fact that Dr. Bill Waddell, a brother of Dan Waddell, is still chairman of the Audio Radiology Department of Pharmacology and Toxicology at the University of Kentucky at Lexington, has been for 20 years. I do know that Joe King was a professor at Appalachian State University until the death of his father, J.D. King, which left his mother needing for him to come home to operate and manage King Hardware. The next time you're in there, just remember the manager, Joe King, left a career he dearly loved to take the responsibility to take over the substantial business which had been founded by his grandparents. Joe, by the way, is also a cousin of the famed Arnold Kimsey King I talked about yesterday. I also know for a fact that David Kaplan, son of Morris and Ann Kaplan, taught at West Point until he resigned his commission and became associated with Logistics Management Institute in McLean, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C. Somebody said, don't forget Knox Justice, but couldn't provide me with any contact where I could gain more information. Someone even volunteered that he thought Jimmy Janakis had taught in college, but again, I had no local Janakis to check with. They're all gone. I do know that Jack Reese headed up the prestigious University of Tennessee at Knoxville. Jack's mother was Alice Reese, and she was executive secretary of the American Red Cross here until her death. Jack had a nephew on our staff, Alan Reese, son of Tommy, that's an old classmate of mine, and his wife, the former Lucy Ann Tate. Jack's first love was teaching, and finally he asked the regents of UT to let him step down as chancellor and return to his preferred career. And speaking of chancellors of major universities, I would be remiss if I didn't point out that the father of the late and great Bob Edwards was also a chancellor at Clemson University. I was also told that Bill Pierce, whose mother Alice was head of props out at Flat Rock Playhouse for many years, I was told that Bill, after working for HKP as an engineer, received a degree at Rawlins in Florida, and also that he either taught or became an administrative executive at Rawlins. So I hope you do see my predicament. Maybe you can help. Through hearsay, I'm told of all sorts of local boys who moved on to major academia, but in many cases I have no way of confirming this information. If you know of any local person who did succeed to the field of higher education, would you either call the station or leave word for me or simply drop me a postcard and let me know? By the end of this year, I'd like to feel that as we prepare maybe a book based on this series, most of the people have been identified and credited with their continued and continuing contribution to academia in America. Many, many of these people I had the pleasure of knowing personally, this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here and with a good sense not to leave and doing what he loved to do all of his life. Source some quarter as we move into the next 50 years.